This morning we're beginning a series that will take us over the next 7 weeks through seven of the most difficult questions that people ask at some time or the other in their life. Does life have a purpose? Is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Is Christianity too narrow? Is Jesus really God? Is the Bible reliable? Can I know God personally? And we're going to deal with each of those questions. And by the way, as a part of Explore God, this is an initiative that is taking place all over the Metroplex. Maybe you've seen the billboards around, but our church is hosting discussion groups that are happening throughout the week and in various places in the city. And if you'd like to connect with one of those discussion groups where we carry on the conversation, there's information in the worship folder this morning about that. But I want to start in Acts chapter 17. So if you would turn there, please, Acts chapter 17. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts in chapter 17. See, the very fact that we have questions about God and questions about life all points to the fact that we have been created by an eternal God. And there's a longing in every single one of us to know our Creator and to connect with our Creator. And God understands this. This is the way He has made us. It starts with Him, and we will never understand our reason for existence, our purpose for living, apart from Him. And so I want to pick up reading in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Interesting information given to us here. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Isn't that interesting? God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And so the invitation to explore God is based on the fact that God has revealed Himself to us. He is a self-disclosing God. And that's the only way we would ever know anything about Him or the life that He intends for us to live. And God has most perfectly revealed Himself in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, He taught perfect truth, He died for our sins, and rose again. And in that event, God has revealed Himself. And so when we try to answer these questions, we're going to all go back to the main revelation of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. The answer to these questions are all found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to jot this down in your worship notes there, here's the starting point. The starting point is that our purpose in life is found in God. You can look for it everywhere else, but you will never find your true purpose for living anywhere but in God. He has perfectly revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So you want to know what God is like? You look at Jesus as we read about Him in the Scriptures. You listen to what He taught. You see the way He lived. And you see what God is like. And then the last sentence, so we can look to the teachings of Jesus for the answer to the question of our purpose in life. We look to the teachings of Jesus for the answers, for the question of our purpose in life. So, with that in mind, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. That's what we're doing this morning in Luke chapter 12. One of the big questions that we all ask is, does life have a purpose? Does my life have a purpose? And Jesus understands that, as we see here in these verses. We're going to pick up reading in chapter 12 and verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Does life have a purpose? That question haunted me as a young man before I was saved. I remember being overwhelmed with the question, "What's the use?" I simply had no purpose, no meaning in my life. Along about that time, there was a song very popular in which a woman tells the story of her life. It's more like a ballad. And the song starts off by the girl perhaps describing one of her very first memories. Their family house caught on fire, and her father came into her room and scooped her up, and they ran out of the house, and there in her father's arms, she watched as the family home burned to the ground. And then the haunting refrain of this song: "Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball." When she was 12, her father took her to the circus. And she saw the animals and the attractions. But sitting there watching the circus before her, she had this question again: "Is that all there is? A circus?" And then again the sad refrain of the song: Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. Well, she fell in love with a young man, a wonderful man. They used to take walks together and lovingly gaze into each other's eyes. They were so in love. But then he left her. And she's left again with this haunting refrain: "Is that all there is? Is that all there is? Well, if that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball." Well, the song ends with this woman saying that she knows that death will come one day for her. She calls it the final disappointment. She knows that when she breathes her last breath before she dies, that she will still be asking the question: "Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball." You see, that song is the story of a woman who knew that there had to be more to life than what she was experiencing, but she just couldn't find it. And when you don't have any other purpose in life, then really the best you can do is just try to squeeze out all of the pleasure that you can get out of this life before you die. Just keep on dancing. Break out the booze and have a big party. So, how does Jesus answer the question, does life have a purpose? Well, I want to explain this passage of Scripture here before us that we've read, and then I'm going to come back and I want to show you the reason why it's so important for us to get the answer to this question right. You see, the answer to the question, does life have a purpose, trickles down into every decision we make, and it trickles down into every issue we face in life. And we see that right here in the text. Because here are her two brothers who are squabbling over their inheritance. Have you ever seen families torn apart, fussing about an estate? I have. I've seen it over and over again. And so Jesus sees this as an opportunity to point to the fact that this really isn't about an inheritance. That the bigger issue here is, what is our purpose in life? Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And so they bring this thorny issue to Jesus. And he must have been surprised at the way Jesus replied to him. Verse 14, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between the two of you?" So Jesus is saying that his calling is really not to get involved in matters like an inheritance. But he does have something far more important to say in this situation. And it comes in the form of a warning, not just to this man, but to all who were listening and to all of us. It's found in verse 15. "Watch out!" Exclamation point. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And so Jesus knows that in this man's heart, and he knows what's in our hearts as well, that there's a bigger issue at stake here as to whether he will get his share of the inheritance or not. The bigger issue that is at stake here is that this man is being deceived about the true meaning of life and the most important thing in life. You see, in another place in the Gospels, Jesus warns about the deceitfulness of riches. And so this man is looking at his inheritance, this pile of money or property or whatever it is. Let's call it Mr. Riches. And what Jesus tells us is that Mr. Riches will lie to you every time. And he lies to this man. Mr. Riches says to us, "Your life is nothing without me. So you better make sure that you get lots of me in your life. Because if you don't have me, your life is going to be boring and empty and meaningless and unhappy. Without me, you have no life. So you better spend your life getting as much of me as you can get, because I am life." So says Mr. Riches. So this is why Jesus taught us here in verse 15 that a man's life, a woman's life, does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Listen, Jesus' assessment is always true. When Jesus says something about life, you take it to the bank. It is true. Amen? He said that a person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. Your life doesn't consist in having a lot of things or pleasures. That's not the real purpose for life. The real purpose in life has to do with your relationship with God. Now, Jesus jumps into an amazing, fascinating story here. And we read it earlier, but let's just review the facts. Verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man, a farmer, produced a good crop. Verse 17, he thinks to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store all of these abundant crops." Verse 18, I have an idea. "I will tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones, and then I will be able to store all the grain that I need to store. And then I will sit back and say to myself, 'Oh, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's break out the booze and have a ball.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' So there's nothing about this man's life that would indicate that he's on the right track in terms of his purpose in life. And in fact, Jesus calls him a fool. He calls him a fool. Why? It is because this man is wasting his life on the wrong purpose and on the wrong meaning. And he's wasting his eternity. And Jesus draws it all together by saying, this is how it will be, verse 21, with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. You see those three words, rich toward God? That is the signal Jesus is sending to us about the true purpose and meaning for life. And I'll come back to that in just a moment. Now, you may be sitting there asking the question, well, I mean, is it bad? Is it bad for this farmer to have an abundant crop? Is it bad for my business to prosper? Is it bad for me to get a promotion where I make more money? Is it bad for my investments to increase in value? No, that's not the point of Jesus' teaching here. In fact, the Bible says that it is God who enables us to produce wealth. So that's not the evil thing here. The evil thing in this story, the man is a fool because he wasted his life thinking that that was the main purpose for life, is to have bigger barns so that he can have more stuff and live a happy, easy life. He says that in verse 19, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So he's saying, my purpose in life is to make a lot of money in order to buy a lot of things and pleasures so that I can sit back and just take life easy and be happy, maybe for a long time. And again, the parable says, you fool, God says this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? So he doesn't gain his life, he loses it. And we're back to verse 21. This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Now, what does it mean to be rich toward God? If that is a signal to us from Jesus that this is our true purpose in living, is to be rich toward God, what does that mean? It means that we show by the way we live our lives that God is our ultimate treasure and our true riches. We live in such a way to demonstrate that He is the most valuable thing, the most valuable one in our lives. We are rich toward God when we realize that we are not made for things, we are made for God. That our life does not consist in having things and how many things or how much stuff we have. Our life consists in how much God we have. That's what it means to be rich toward God, to be rich in God. That's our purpose in life. I like the way one commentator put this. He said, if the farmer in Jesus' story was truly rich toward God, his response to his prosperity and blessings would have been something like this. God, this is all yours. You have made my fields prosper. Show me how to express with my riches that you are my treasure. And the riches are not. I already have enough. I don't need a bigger and bigger safety net. I don't need better food, better drink, and better parties. I do indeed want to make merry, but not in self-indulgent parties with rich retirees. I want to make merry with the people who have been helped by my generosity. I want the fullest blessing of giving because you taught me, Lord, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Ooh, I like that. So here's what Jesus recognized in this man's heart. That the real issue was not whether he was going to get his share of the inheritance. The real issue here is that this man was pursuing the wrong purpose in life. He wants to be rich, but he doesn't care about being rich toward God. By the way, it's not so much that you discover your purpose in life. You may look at your purpose in life, discover what it is, and realize that it's all wrong. The big deal is to discover God's purpose for life, God's purpose for your life. Why? Let me give you three reasons why it's so important that we get the answer to this question right. Number one, discovering your purpose in life gives meaning to every day. Discovering your purpose in life gives meaning to every day. It means you get up in the mornings and you have a reason to live that day. Your reason is to know God and to glorify God through His Son Jesus Christ, then you have a reason to live every day. Number two, discovering your purpose in life, God's purpose in life, gives guidance in every decision that you make. It gives guidance in every decision that you make. Now, we all have to make a lot of decisions, don't we? How are we going to spend our life? With whom will we spend our time? How are we going to spend our money? What are we going to do with the opportunities that come our way? And you see, if you have this overarching purpose in life is to honor and glorify God as your true riches, then that gives guidance in every decision that you have to make. Now, here's the big one. Discovering your purpose in life determines your eternal destiny. It determines your eternal destiny. Your purpose in life determines your destiny for eternity. Now, let me just illustrate that with this piece of rope. If you can just imagine that this rope is infinitely long, that it goes on and on and on, and it stretches around the world several times, that it goes on and on. But also, if you would imagine that this rope represents your existence, that goes on into eternity for millions and millions and millions of years. And this red part is just the tip, the red zone I will call it, that has to do with our days on this earth. But our existence doesn't end when we die. You know that, don't you? Our existence doesn't end where we die. We will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And eternity is a long, long time. It goes on and on and on. So here in the red zone is a person who lives their life for the pleasures that they can get out of this life. Whether it's working hard and making a lot of money so they can have a lot of nice things, so they can take long vacations and have a nice long retirement, or whether it's sitting, playing video games all day long, or watching movies, or whatever it is, draining from other people all of the pleasure that you can get selfishly from other people, however you would spend your life apart from God. When you die, there is an eternity, an existence awaiting you that is filled with regret. Filled with regret. Why? Because you will march out of this life leaving your treasures behind. You can't take it with you. And you will spend an eternity in a place filled with regrets because you're separated from the one who is supposed to be your true treasure in life, God Almighty. On the other hand, if you spend your days in the red zone, you've understood that you were created for a purpose, and that is to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to glorify Him with every fiber of your being and love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That your ultimate purpose in life is to make God your treasure. Then, when this life ends, when the red zone is over, you launch into an eternity that goes on and on and on and on, not filled with regrets because every sin has been forgiven. Not filled with regrets, but filled with rewards. Why? Because you are going to spend eternity in the presence of that one who is your treasure. Forever and ever. Lost in the glory of God. Lost in the pleasure of God, lost in cherishing and treasuring God. You see, eternity is a long time, folks. Do you want to spend it filled with regrets? Or do you want to spend it filled with delights and with rewards, the blessings of eternally being in the presence of the one who is your treasure? That's our purpose in life. And so the bottom line is this, if you want to jot it down. Every person on earth was created to personally know and love God. That's why we were created. And thus life is meaningless without Him. But God gives meaning to everything else. And it's all tied to Jesus. Again, the answer to all these questions is tied up in the person of Jesus. Would you bow your head, please? Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you know why we were created, and you know why we go astray and look for meaning and purpose in life in all of the wrong places. And that's why you came and lived and died, so that we could be forgiven and set free to pursue your purpose for our lives. That doesn't end when we die. It goes on and on and on in eternity. An eternity filled not with regrets, but with delights and rewards in your presence. So Lord, today I pray that your Spirit would move in hearts and help us, show us, Lord, when we've been living as though our life consists in the abundance of our things rather than being rich toward God. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.